When I named the band, I guess I didn't think that people would think I was Hootie. I don't know why I didn't think that.
This band played at the Metro. Our turn to be worth the show. The rock show was awesome. It whipped the pony's ass.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish.
The band played it on. The band got down as they stormed the stage. The crowd roared like a lion. The jam session whipped the pony's ass.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hello, you're listening to Rock and or Roll. I'm BJ, and I'm very excited about today's episode because this is an idea that we've had for a while, and it's finally coming to fruition. I'm joined by, of course, Brian Sword from the Double Stop. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ, back for another round.
Yeah, we do this series called Worst Of, where we pick the five worst songs by some of the best bands. I guess that's the idea. And so another idea was to turn that on its head and pick the five best songs by the worst bands. And we've talked about that at the end of a couple Worst Of episodes, probably.
And it seemed like a brilliant idea until I found myself listening to album after album of a band I despise.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I put all five Hootie and the Blowfish albums on hold at the library and went and checked out the CDs. I could say I didn't listen to the whole songs. I was just, you know, fast-forwarding through songs and trying to find anything that was listenable at all. But yeah, our task was to find the five best Hootie and the Blowfish songs.
Oh, it's so hard. There was a minute there where I gotta admit I really hated you for this.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I love this idea. I think it's a lot of fun. But and I don't know how deep we're going to go into these best of episodes, but it could get a lot worse even probably than this.
It's just so hard because on the worst of, it's bands we all know the stuff. It's really easy because you already know the material, so you can go through and go through the albums and quickly find the songs. Oh yeah, I hate that song. I hate that song. It doesn't take a lot of prep. But this, because I didn't know any of it. Like I only knew one or two songs on the radio. I hated them. I hated the band. Never listened to anything. So I had to, it took a while to go through all these albums and make a list because it was a blank slate for me in terms of the material.
Yeah, I didn't really know any of the songs except the hits, too, which are all
horrible.
Pretty horrible.
Absolutely horrible. They're terrible. This is a terrible band. Yeah. It is the most bland, generic music I've ever heard in my life. Awful.
So you can... You could stop me whenever you want. I don't know how deep into the weeds we should go, but I thought it would be funny to, just like a normal episode.
Yeah, totally.
Do the band history. Some of this I got from their website, and I guess some from Wikipedia. I had enough self-respect not to spend too much time.
Attaboy.
I just copied and pasted some stuff, but
okay.
Hootie and the Blowfish formed in Columbia, South Carolina in 1986.
Wow.
When they were all in college. And formed by Darius Rucker, Mark Bryan, Dean Felber, and Jim Sonnefeld. Supposedly, Hootie was the nickname of some guy named Irvin Harris, and Blowfish was a nickname of their friend Donald Feaster, or both of them were friends of Darius Rucker, so that's supposedly where the name came from.
See, when they came out, I thought he was Hootie.
Yeah, everybody. I think a lot of people just still refer to him as Hootie, which I think he probably hates. But yeah, I mean, it's Hootie, and then the rest of the band were the Blowfish. Yeah, they all met when they were freshmen at the University of South Carolina. And it says that Mark Bryan, I don't know what instrument he plays, but he heard Darius Rucker singing in the showers in the dorm. And that's how they hooked up. I guess Darius Rucker and the guy that heard him in the shower, they performed as a duo called the Wolf Brothers for a while, and then they got the other two guys into the band. So that must be the rhythm section, the other two.
And then
they become a band as opposed to just like an acoustic duo or whatever the fuck they were doing. I guess the guy who was nicknamed Hootie, it's because he had like big glasses, so he looked like an owl. So Hoot was...
God, all the stuff, the details that I never cared and still don't care about Hootie.
And then guy says, we weren't thinking it was a name we would have forever. We thought we could always think of something better. You hear a lot of bands that have that.
Chickenfoot. Chickenfoot's a classic example of that, where it was just... It just shows that after a while, when you accept a name, it doesn't matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
If you accept it, it just becomes what it is, and you don't care anymore.
Yeah, it's like the Goo Goo Dolls. They they stuck themselves with that name, and then later they wished they had a different name. But I love this quote I read where it's, by the time they graduated, they'd played endless gigs at frat parties and local bars, and then I wrote keyword frat. Because these, when they came out, 94, that was what, my sophomore, junior year in college. So I was right there in the middle of it when they came out. Too. And like, I looked it up, and so their first album, Cracked Rearview Mirror, came out 3 months to the day after Kurt Cobain killed himself, to put it in perspective. And I guess at least Kurt never had to hear it.
Lucky Kurt.
Hootie and the Blowfish, Hootie and the Blowfish were kind of a manifestation of his worst nightmare, I think. In a way.
Totally. It shows, it's interesting because it had that whole grunge thing, Destroy Hair Metal. And it was just like, it, you know, wiped away crappy music, as they said. And it was something, you know, new. And it didn't take very long for bland bands like Hootie and the Blowfish to, you know, top the charts. So the whole grunge revolution didn't really last that long then.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I always say is that, yeah, the idea that Nirvana came in and wiped away hair metal. Well, then the same thing happened. What's the difference between Hootie and the Blowfish and Trickster? It's the same concept. You know, we started with Quiet Riot and Rat and Twisted Sister, and it ends up with Trickster and Nelson and whatever. And then you start with Nirvana and Pearl Jam, you end up with fucking Hootie and the Blowfish and Creed. And it was the same exact progression. Yeah. Except, I would say, the bands that came after in the modern rock era were a billion times worse than the worst fucking hair metal band. So
at least the hair metal bands could play.
Yeah, like I went back not that long ago and listened to that first Trickster album, and the songs are not very good, but I'd way rather listen to that than fucking Creed, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
So Hootie, they independently released a couple cassettes, which I did not try to find those to listen to. They had an EP called Coochie Pop that they put out before they got signed to Atlantic. And Atlantic puts out that album, and then it was just a huge, I mean, it's one of the biggest albums of all time. It sold 10 million copies in the first year, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. It was that big. Oh, I know you couldn't get away from it at the time, but I didn't realize.
Well, it must have been 10 million by the end of 95. It came out in 94. I know. Yeah. I read 10 million the first year, but that must mean, well, that probably means from July of 94 to July of 95, I guess. Because it was the number one selling album of all of 1995, and it came out in July of 94. So it had a long shelf life, you know? I didn't remember this, but fucking David Letterman apparently was a big fan. And apparently he had them on the show, and then his quote was, if you don't have this album, there's something wrong with you. That's what David Letterman said.
Oh, David.
Well, this is one of those albums where it sold 16 million copies or something, but you'd probably have a hard time finding somebody. Yeah, you'd have a hard time finding somebody that admitted they bought it, even though every fucking buddy did, it seems like.
Not me. I was still listening to Trickster.
Yeah. Well, they, but you know, you Canadians, you know, you don't get a pass on this because they had three straight number one hits in Canada. They were huge up there too.
Oh, they were everywhere. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. They were everywhere. But still, that's the only songs I've ever heard. So until this, but.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean. I don't know.
Okay, I don't care about Hootie's history. I don't care about Hootie's history anymore. We got to stop this because it's fucking Hootie and the Blowfish. Stop it now. Let's just pick their shitty song.
How the hell were they so songs. Popular?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
All I know is that all the people in the 90s who judged me for my 80s rock can fuck off because they were listening to Hootie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the top 20 highest selling albums ever. And I mean, everybody knows the hits. Oh, so I guess Hold My Hand was the first big hit. And I have a funny story about that because right around that time, my mom made us all go to some photographer's studio and have like family portraits done. And the song was playing while we were like posing for the pictures. That song.
You got to put that photo in your notes for this episode. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I don't have it. It's hanging on the wall at my parents' house. But the song was playing while we were posing. So like we were standing behind my parents, and so I held my brother's hand, inspired by the song. And so in the picture, like if you look at our faces, we were holding hands behind my parents, but you can't see it.
Oh, get your mom to take a picture with her phone and send it to you.
That was inspired by. Which that song is so horrible. Holy shit.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
And then they got sued by Bob Dylan because they say Tangled Up in Blue. It Only Want to Be With You. That was really mean.
Oh, wow.
He sued them. It's like I guess I don't remember. I think he uses a couple of lines from Tangled Up in Blue, like more than just. But still, it was, I mean, it's like a tribute kind of. I mean.
Yeah.
The only reason he sued him is because they suck so bad. They're so annoying.
They sold 16 million records.
So yeah, true.
There's money to be had there, too.
Yeah, yeah. And they won 2 Grammys in 95, I guess. And then their second album, Fairweather Johnson, huge flop. It's a... Well, I saw on Wikipedia, it said it sold 2 point something million, but then it says it's triple platinum on there. And then I saw somewhere else where it said it sold 4 million. So I don't know, but regardless, it, you know, compared to 16 million.
Nowhere to go but down when you start that big.
Yeah. And then their third album went platinum, and then that, you know, that was it. So they were a one album wonder.
And we still recorded 5 albums and a cover record.
But yeah. The first single from the second album was a number one hit by you. Old Man and Me was number one in Canada. So,
really?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. Sorry, people.
Oh, so I was going to... This is from their website. The band's secret weapon and the force that pulls all of its diverse influences together is the voice of Darius Rucker. An expressive instrument brimming with gritty soul and subtle wit.
Oh.
When he sings, the songs are imbued with a buoyant good humor and an open-hearted joy that connects on an almost spiritual level with audiences all over the world.
You know, some douchebag wrote that and was finished that and was so proud of themselves. They're just like, yeah, I'm brilliant. Look what I wrote. This is great PR. Ugh.
For me, his voice makes the songs almost... that was the hardest part of finding any good Hootie and the Blowfish song is that I hate his voice so much.
Yeah.
And so if any of that gritty soul or subtle wit or buoyant good humor is there, that's what ruins the song more than anything because it's horrible.
Yep.
Like I wrote, it's like it's somewhere between Jimmy Buffett and Blues Traveler. I don't know. It's nothing good.
No. Like, it's distinct. Okay, I'll give him props for that. Like, you hear a Hootie and the Blowfish song, which I wouldn't, but if he do, you would know who it is right away as soon as he starts singing. Like, I'll give him that. At least he's got a distinct voice. And often that's more important than being a good singer, is a distinct singer. you know, there's a lot of average singers with unique voices, like David Lee Roth or something, that have done really well. But, oh, I hate it so much. So, so much.
Well, you know, he's probably one of those guys. Yeah, he does have a voice, and I bet he can do different things with it. And I think he chooses to do what he does with it, and it's horrible. You know, it's like Paul Rogers can sing All Right Now and Bad Company, and it sounds like a completely different guy. And maybe Darius Rucker has the same kind of capabilities, but he chooses to do the Hootie voice, which is fucking horrible.
Well, yeah, I guess because that was so successful, he's kind of stuck with it. Have you heard Our Lady Peace when the singer switched from the falsetto to something, you know, to just normal singing? And it was like a different band, you know, and then, of course, their popularity dove. But, you know, he did that where he had a distinct voice for their first four or five records, and then he switched it up, and it was like crickets. Nobody cared anymore, you know? So
yeah,
when you have a success with a certain style of singing, it's going to be hard to change it up, you know, years later and have people follow you.
But what Hootie does with his voice is so horrible.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to deny that. It's terrible.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. I hope, Hootie, you're not listening, but we hate you.
It's so hilarious that at the time they were managing to somehow like squeeze into like alternative, which is hilarious.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, because they were loved in that group. When you listen back to it now, it's like there's not an alternative speck of in this music. There's not. It's not remotely. It's like adult contemporary bland garbage.
And then I think they also kind of piggybacked a little bit on like the jam band, like the Spin Doctors, Blues Traveler type vibe. They got a little bit of that shit in there too, which was really popular then. So they kind of, yeah, they were, I mean, you know, they were perfect for, they were just so, I mean, I don't know what people liked about it, but it was obviously it was safe and just like harmless. So fucking harmless.
Okay, so I got Spotify open, and Only Want to Be With You is the number one most popular song by this band with 15.4 million streams. You know, so people are still listening to that song.
Can you imagine going and listening to that? Like, I want to hear that's fucking nuts.
Like, you hear it when you're at the dentist or something, yeah. But... And actually seek it out.
Ugh. I mean, it was people, a nightmare people. The first time.
People. Listen to better music.
Oh, I'm looking
at the guy who's stuck in the 80s.
Looking at the cracked Rearview album cover. It's so, the font and everything is so bad. It's so like 90s, you know, popular music looking album cover.
Generic. All right, let's pick some songs.
Did you rank yours?
No, I didn't, because it's all crap. So yeah. I went through and I listened to every album. I skipped the covers record. They did a covers album, and I'm like, I'm not going to listen to them destroy songs I like. I'm just not going to do it. Like, BJ, I'm sorry, but I'm not that dedicated. Now, what I did is I listened to them in order of release, starting with the oldest to the newest, and I did my best to find five songs I could tolerate. So my list is in chronological order. From oldest album, you know, my first songs from the first record, my fifth songs from the later records. And I went through and I tried to find five songs that I could kind of tolerate a little bit. And it was really, really hard. I had to do it in two listening sessions because I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't sit down and go through all five records or six records or whatever in one listen because it was just too painful. Because, dude, it's Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, I went through and I found four songs. I found four. That was it. And then I just had to find the fifth.
Well, you had to go back twice. I got lucky. I actually managed to find five on my first pass. And I'm like, good, I'm done.
Went through. And if there was a song that I was like, all right, this is not as nauseating as the others, then I would put it in a playlist. And then and I only had four. And I have a strong number one. And the rest are...
I listened back to my five, and I didn't, like, really, really like any of them. Like, there was... Generally, there'd be something about it that I liked, but I couldn't say there's one song, and I'm like, okay, this is a good song that I like. It's clearly my number one. But I am going to be absolutely fascinated if you and I manage to hit upon any of the same songs. Because we're talking, whatever, 50 or 60 Hootie and the Blowfish songs we had to go through. Did we pick of our five, did we match up at all? Because that would be amazing if we even got one the same. But so I'm very curious to what you chose.
Well, honestly, it really comes down to which songs his voice is the least annoying on more than anything, I think. Because a lot of the songs I could hear the first fucking word and be like, nope, that's not happening.
I think I chose more by music because I hate the singing in every song. So I think there's a few songs because musically, it's not interesting. And I'm a music guy. Like I like interesting music more than the vocals. Like I'm much more of a music guy over the vocals. And it was really hard because it was just so bland and boring and pedestrian, so much of the music. It was really hard to find music that I could, like, handle.
Yeah.
You know, I across the board for all five songs, I wish there was a different singer. But these are the five songs where musically I could, like, okay, this doesn't completely suck.
Yeah, like you were saying, he has an identifiable voice, and that's all they have. You would never know what the fuck band it was by hearing the music.
Not at all. No, it's so
zero
bland.
Originality.
No, not a hint of it. Yeah. You know? And every now and then they tried, and maybe that's possibly the songs that I honed in on, when every now and then they'd be at least try a little something different, because that first record, it's so repetitive. Every song starts with this clean, boring guitar little riff. Clean, you know, clean tone, and then, you know, the band kicks in. It's just over and over the same kind of song. It's really bad. Sorry, I can't get at all excited about Hootie and the Blowfish. Probably even more now that I've listened to the catalog, I actually think less of them than I did before we even started this, you know, talking about this episode.
Well, that's the point. It's the five best songs by the worst bands.
Like, I'm hoping in the future we'll do one of these bands and I'll be like, you know what? I actually found some songs I like. This was a worthy exercise because I took this band I hated, went through it all, I found some good stuff. But this band, no. I got five songs that I could kind of handle, but they all kind of suck. Like, I went through every Hootie song and no, I don't not like this band.
I will say my number one, I kind of like, but I would never go listen. I'm never going to go listen to it again. But it's the only one.
All right.
So
who goes first?
Do you want to go first?
Want me to go first? Because we'll end on your song, your number one, because you've actually, between the two of us, you're the only one that's got like a song that you actually can honestly say you don't mind. Like you kind of like.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have that. So we should end on the song that BJ is okay with.
Yeah, okay. It's embarrassing to even say that, but okay. So, what album is your first? Starting at the first album and going?
Starting the first album, my first song that I found was halfway through the first record before I hit upon a song that I'm like, okay. It's called "Running from an Angel."
I think that's the one I started playing this morning, just checking if I could listen to him on Amazon. and I think it's really horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so my notes on this one was I'm not a lyric guy, so I don't really care because the title itself is just horrific. It's such a terrible title. So I didn't really listen to the words, but I know they're awful based on that title. So, but I don't care, but because I'm not really a lyrics guy. It's got a catchy riff. The guitar riff is kind of catchy. If Springsteen did a song with the same riff, I'd probably like it. You know, it would be done a lot better, but if he started a song with that same riff, he could probably do something cool with it. Bonus points because there is a cool bass line, and I'm a bass player, so the fact that I noticed, hey, there's actually some pretty good bass going on here, gave it some bonus points for me. My other side note on here was what I'd already said, you know, that so many songs already, halfway through the first record, and so many songs start with this boring guitar part with a clean tone, you know, it's terrible. But Running From an Angel, first song, I thought, okay, this is not completely awful.
Okay, maybe I should listen to a little bit of it.
Oh my god!
Holy shit, that's horrible. Oh, I only had to hear two seconds played. Oh man. Oh my god. Yeah, see, I definitely didn't pick anything that had that kind of vibe. I don't know how I would describe it.
Well, oh, hopefully you're going to play a little out of it for your listeners to enjoy.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, but I should talk because my number five, it's probably horrible. It's from Musical Chairs. That's the third album. And it's just acoustic guitar and banjo. It's called Michelle Post, but he pronounces it Michelle. Michelle Post. I wrote, it's too mellow to call it bluegrass. It's just very generic folk.
It's terrible. It's not, musically, it's the most generic, boring thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's probably why. See, this is the, like I said, I number five, I had a hard time picking the fifth song. I had a hard time finding anything.
Oh, you don't get to judge me. This is terrible.
I know.
This is awful.
It's not good. It's not. It's just the most endurable one I found.
Oh, no, no, no. Yes. Okay. So what do I got here? I got another side note that I'd written down that the first album's got some pretty good bass parts. At this point, I was halfway through the second album and there hadn't been any. So I was wondering if there was possibly a lineup change on the second record. And if I cared more, I would have looked it up, but I don't really care. But it was something that I noted that all of a sudden the good bass playing is gone. So it was halfway
through and I found a song that I could kind of tolerate. It was, it made me think of modern John Mellencamp musically. You know, he's changed his style to be more of acoustic. So it's got a cool little guitar riff. Absolutely hate the singer. It's called Earth Stop Cold at Dawn on Fairweather Johnson. Musically, it's kind of interesting, and there's a little guitar riff thing happening there that's reasonably complicated, so it caught my attention. Of musically, it's a bit, you know, not so simple as most of their stuff, but as soon as the singing comes on, it really sucks. But musically, if you take that song musically and strip off the singer and you drop in Mellencamp, you might have a decent song.
Right.
Yeah, that's like, the best I can do, dude. I'm trying.
I know. Like, but you like, said, absolutely terrible, hate the singer.
Terrible music. It's terrible music. So I'm finding angles to find something I like about a certain song to get it on my list. Because otherwise, I'd be like, no, it's not possible. There's not five good songs by this band. So this is a stupid exercise. But I found five, and that's on my list. Earth Stop Cold at Dawn. But if you play a clip for people, start at the beginning of the song to hear the intro stuff. Because that's the best part.
This is not a stupid exercise. This is fucking great. This is,
Okay, and one other side note I wrote right after this, I'm like, you know, it's really, really hard to listen to a band you despise, to listen to it objectively, you know, because you come in with this baggage of like, I hate this fucking band, but to try to just like push that aside and listen to it for what it is, which is what I was doing, but I, you know, it was really hard, but I did my best. I think I'm looking for some props for the fact that I sat there and I listened, and I didn't just, you know, listen to 3 seconds and move on. I tried to listen to this terrible, terrible music.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, it is a huge sacrifice to listen to Hootie and the Blowfish. You took one for the team. More than one. You took a... Did you just actually put the albums on and listen, like, to the whole songs, or...
I would probably make it about halfway. Yeah. I'd make sure I got to the chorus. Well, some of the stuff, you know, I would listen to 30 seconds, and if it was absolutely horrible, it's like there's nothing. You might as well just move on.
Yeah.
But I tried to give it a fair shake, and that's 5 albums worth, I think. Maybe 6. But oof.
Well, like your description of the last song was absolutely hate the singer, and my first note for my next song are the vocals are horrible. And way up front in the mix, which is really bad, it's from Looking for Lucky, which is that the 4th album, I guess? I think the self-titled one is the last one, so...
Looking for Lucky is the newest. That's 2005. Oh,
okay. It's the song is called State Your Peace, and I mean, most of my songs are more the rock and roll songs, more of the heavier songs, I guess, or just the... I mean, they're all generic, so this is
this is like generic. Like, it's 2005, but it sounds like generic mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know, bland rock.
Driving down the middle of the road,
It's not good. It's the best they have to offer. The least horrible from my point of view.
Oh, yeah. The vocals are really high.
Yeah, yeah. The vocals are... The worst part... The most horrendous part, there's like a breakdown part where his voice cracks, like he does a cracking voice thing, which is really a fucking nightmare. So, yeah, it's... He just has a... I mean, I just hate his voice. It's just, his voice... Well, it's not even... It's the way he sings is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's not good music. That's not... that's not good music. No. Why people would think this is good music is beyond me. I don't know. There's nothing good about this.
Well, can you imagine... It's like if somebody likes that song, can you imagine all the stuff they could be listening to instead of that? That's, you know... I mean, I don't know. It's like Howard Stern always yells at it, the people that work for it, like Richard. He yells at Richard Christie. He's like, you live in New York and you go to Pizza Hut, you know? It's kind of like that idea. It's that. That's what Hootie and the Blowfish is living in New York and going to Pizza Hut.
Hootie and the Blowfish, music for people who don't really like music.
Yeah.
Okay, my number three is actually also from Fairweather Johnson. In fact, I think it's two songs down from my last song. And finally, we found the bass player. It's called Honey Screw. So it starts with a cool little bass bit, which is finally on the, you know, considering how much good bass there is on the first record. It's got a cool little riff. I wish the guitar sound was better, the guitar tones. It's kind of crappy guitar tone, but fine. Hate the singer, but the music is kind of cool. That's Honey Screw.
I just played a little bit. That's like sounded like Stone Temple Pilots or something when I heard a few seconds little more. Of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit for them. It's probably one of their heaviest tracks that I heard in all the albums. So that one musically, I'll give it a pass. Get a new singer, guys.
They'd be something else than the Blowfish.
Exactly. Be Hooter.
Lion than the Blowfish. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but once in a while you'll hear like a shade of Eddie Vedder in him, like if you took the worst 5% of Eddie Vedder's voice and made it your entire voice,
there you go,
or something like that. So my next song is the first song on Cracked Rearview, Hannah Jane, which when it kicks in, it reminds me of Teenage Fan Club, one of my favorite bands, but then he starts singing and it all goes to shit, you know.
Yeah.
I wrote, the verses are difficult to tolerate, but the chorus is less nauseating. So at least I wrote, at least it's upbeat with some decent layered guitars, but it's completely generic, you know?
Yeah. Just musically, there's just nothing interesting about this to me. It's just bland.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, this is unlistenable to me. I hate this so much. Oh, it's awful, dude.
It's not good.
No. So that's what I seem to be finding here. We're finding our five songs, but none of it's really getting good. No matchings yet. We haven't matched up at all. All right.
Yeah, you were looking for things that were musically interesting, and that's definitely not my point, the point of view I came at it from.
Yeah. Okay, so my song number four is from the album Musical Chairs. That's their third record. I found one song on their third record from 1998. I guess when they are, this is their last one that sold anything.
Yeah.
Okay. The song I chose is called Bluesy Revolution. It's kind of in the middle of the record.
Oh, man. That's not a good sign. Bluesy.
Okay. Yeah. Bluesy Revolution. I said, it's okay. It doesn't really feel authentic. It's like they were trying something, but I can stand hearing it.
The vocals, yeah, that's...
Yeah, it starts with a bit of a dirty guitar thing, and again, a bit more rocking in the guitar side than they usually do, and that's why it didn't really feel authentic. It seemed like they had a list of different styles they wanted to cover on the record, and this was one of them. But musically, again, if there was a different singer, I probably wouldn't automatically skip it if it came on the radio, maybe.
It's really hilarious to see them try to be alternative, but
yeah,
like mix in. So they're like, they were trying to have the best of all worlds or whatever. They had their really ridiculous pop songs that, you know, were practically like bop, you know, not really that far removed from like Hanson or whatever. But then they whatever also trying to be like Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots, but give it up. They maybe could have maintained more of their popularity if they didn't try to, you know, straddle the alternative line, and if they would have just gone more in the, just been more like, you know, Toad the Wet Sprocket or whatever else they were, you know, more in line with than trying to be Stone Temple Pilots, because, you know, give it up. You're not going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
I don't mean to insult Toad the Wet Sprocket by saying that. I just mean in the time period of, you know, they were much more of Matchbox 20 than Stone Temple Pilots, so they should have just gone with it, and maybe they could have sold more records.
That's true.
Not new, Okay, my next song is from the self-titled album, and it's called Deeper Side. And when I heard this song, I remembered it. I think it's one of the songs by them you might hear in the grocery store or something. Are you listening to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of trouble with his voice, which is the common theme. This is the one where his voice cracks on the breakdown. That's the worst thing you can imagine, is like when it's just quiet music and his voice cracking. That's like, no, get me out of here. Check, please.
But, yeah.
Things about you from your deeper side. Show me your deeper side. Show me your deeper side. Show me your deeper side. Yeah, I would give most anything to see.
I wrote, I guess the melody is palatable enough.
it's just boring. Okay, yeah, fine.
I think I knew that song, so I think it's...
Yeah, I'd never heard it before. It's terrible.
Well, it's like, what you hear in the grocery store is cheap music, so a lot of times in the grocery store you'll hear a popular band, but you'll hear one of their less popular songs, which I think is just because they get cheap. Whatever music service they use, you know, it's whatever's cheap. So
we play Hootie and the Blowfish, the cheapest song we could get by them.
So I knew this song from like hearing it around or something, but
right.
But it also, you know, there's another thing you hear on some of their stuff is you hear like the country career that's gonna be, you know, coming in the future. You can hear that creeping through too.
Yeah, true. Yeah, on this particular record, I didn't choose any songs on it on my list.
From the self-titled
There was
one?
A song in the middle, which again, I guess that's where my soft spot for Hootie and the Blowfish is, the middle of the records. But yeah. It was called I'll Come Running.
Oh, you got a honorable mention.
That's like, I wanted to like it, but then the singing was so bad, I couldn't make myself put it on my list. So there's nothing on this record that I could handle. From being yourself is your deeper side. Oh, we're at the end of the list. This is my last one.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. Good things come to an end. Okay. So, Hootie and the Blowfish self-titled. One song, but no. So nothing on that one for me. So I end on Looking for Lucky, 2005. The Killing Stone. Even though I'm not a lyric guy, I thought that was a really cool song title, The Killing Stone.
I heard a preacher man speaking on the radio. Remember thinking that I'd like to tell him where to go. Back to that book that you've been waving around. Open it up and go to that part about you without sin. Pick up that stone. You without sin. Pick up that stone. He's turning it over. talking on a TV show, trying to tell me how to live and just how I should vote. He says he believes in the sanctity of life. 100,000 died. Tell me, are you sanctified? Are you without sin? Pick up that stone. Sin. Pick up that stone. He's turning it over to the other side. He's turning it over now. Cause you can't hide all that lies beneath. All the lies beneath. The killing.
Got a moody intro. Chorus isn't great, but it's okay. I thought this, if you stripped off the vocals and replaced it with, you know, the singer from the Counting Crows, it'd be a good Counting Crows song.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. That's bad.
But there is a bit of a theme. Like, I listen to this and I'm like, going through these again, like, yeah, a lot of my picks were the ones that they, when they tried to have a bit of a dirtier guitar tone, you know, I guess, as you said, the more they're trying to be Stone Temple Pilots or something. Every album seems to have one song like that, and that's kind of what I gravitated towards.
I guess I gravitated towards more generic rock songs with layered guitars that were a little bit, but up, see, I picked up tempo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not like stuff with a groove or whatever.
I'm very, very curious what your pick, because your number one pick, you said, this is of all their stuff, this is the one song that you can almost say you like, which is more than I could say about any of this stuff. So I'm very curious. So what is the one Hootie and the Blowfish song that actually made you say, you know, this is half decent?
Yeah, it's from the self-titled album, and His vocals aren't as annoying on this song than probably almost any other one I've found. And to me, it sounds a lot like a Sugar song or a Bob Mould song. Very much like a ripoff, basically. It's basically a ripoff of a Sugar song. I would not go so far as to say it sounds like a Husker Du song, but it sounds like a Bob Mould song for sure.
Okay.
It's called Wishing. And the vocals are layered and not as annoying, so that's a big part of why it's the best one, in my opinion.
Wishing.
Yeah. And it's on the
self. Is that from the self-titled?
Yeah. That's what I have written down. Wait, it's not on there. Okay, which album is it on then? I almost have the wrong album written down.
Musical Chairs.
Oh, it's on Musical Chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Second song on Musical Chairs. Ooh, it's short, too.
This is the song you like.
It sounds like a Sugar song.
This musically probably took them about 10 minutes to write.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're not even true. But you're right. You're right. The vocals are better. They are. The process or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The vocals are different.
Doesn't really sound like as much like Hootie.
No, yeah. That would be the main thing.
And the chorus has a hook. Okay. There is a hook in the chorus there. I don't like the song at all, but I could see, okay, fine. Like, singing-wise, he doesn't sound like himself. There is a hook in the chorus. The guitar is very boring, and that's automatically going to turn me off, but okay.
He sounds like Bob Mould. It's a Sugar, it's a ripoff of like a Sugar song, is exactly what it is. Like,
right.
I mean, basically. Which I was interesting to hear, so.
Okay. So that's the one when you're going, hey, Hootie, not bad.
For me, that's by far the best that I found, for sure.
Yeah, right. Huh. All right. Yeah, this wouldn't make my list, but I'm like, okay, I can see. This is probably the first song you've chosen. I could see why you picked it. Even though it's not my thing, I'm like, yeah, I could see why you chose this. I think your other picks are all garbage, dude.
Yeah, yours were horrible, too. So. Yeah, yeah.
So we did not match up on a single Hootie song.
Yeah, that's
not
funny. Well, I think we came at it from very different perspectives.
Yes. Yes, it definitely showed our difference in musical tastes.
Yeah.
Even though we like a lot of the same bands, probably for different reasons then. But because usually when we do the worst of, we always overlap a couple. There's always some pretty clear, and even bands with, you know, tons and tons of records like Kiss or something will always kind of hit upon one or two of the same songs, where this one is not even close, completely different.
All right, so... what did we come away with? We didn't really. What's the end result of this episode?
The end result of this episode, I think, is that Hootie and the Blowfish are as bad as I thought they were.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd only heard the hits. I hated it, and because it was just everywhere. And I went through and I gave a shot. I tried to have as open ears as I could. You know, and tried not to have the baggage of listening to a band I hate, and I still didn't like the music. It's harmless. Like, it's not, it's so generic and bland that it's harmless music, and it really deserves to be played at the grocery store. But I took, you know, I was hoping, and I hope in the future when we do one of these, where I'll come away, we'll actually be able to say, you know what? I hate the hits, but I found some stuff here I like. You know, I didn't have this, that did not happen here. I don't, this band's terrible.
Yeah. Agreed. When there's so much good music to listen to that no matter, you know, even without it, how bad his voice is, which is the main thing that really makes it hard to mm-hmm. to take. But even without that, this isn't going to, there's just nothing special about it. Why would you listen to this over a billion other things? It's just the, you know.
It is astonishing to me that they were that big and they, in some level, they couldn't, almost no band maintains it when they come out of the, you know, first record that big. There's really nowhere to go but down. But they've been around a long time, and I'm sure they do really well playing fairs and casinos or whatever it is, wherever they tour. They probably still bring people in. They probably still have a good career going. And I'm pretty sure his country career's done pretty well for him, too.
I wonder how many
people
copies...
still like them.
Yeah, I get. Really, though? I guess if people are at like, you know, a county fair and they're half drunk and they hear songs that they know, they don't really give a shit what it is.
And they've survived to the point now where their fans from 94 or whatever it was, they're all now like us in the 40s, and we're all kind of starting to go for the retro tours, you know. Unlike most people, like I still got a 2-year-old, but most people our age are starting to, you know, generally have a bit older kids, and they're starting to go out for these shows, which is why, you know, much older legacy act, but Journey does so well every year. But all those legacy tours, they're now finally reached the point where Hootie and the Blowfish will be, you know, they can go on tour with the Goo Goo Dolls or something and be, you know, a legacy tour that will probably get a lot of people to show up who want to, you know, revisit their glory days of listening to Hootie in their first year of college.
Okay, just very quickly looking at Wikipedia. According to what I find in Wikipedia, Cracked Rearview has sold more than both Nevermind and Pearl Jam 10.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, people.
Both of those are over 10 million, but Cracked Rearview is supposedly at 16 million, which is...
Wow.
Supposedly.
And you look at like Nirvana and the cultural, you know, shift that they, you know, were the center of, and even Pearl Jam, you know, like,
yeah.
And Hootie did better. Well, there you go. Way to go, people. Meanwhile, all my bands were playing in little clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the one you love with Oney Logan and, what's his fit? Rowan?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're Violet's Demise. Yeah,
they didn't even, their album didn't even
they,
come
their
out.
They were also on Atlantic Records, and their record didn't get, it was shelved.
Yeah.
You know, but Atlantic happily put out Hootie, you know. And Violet's Demise, at least, was original. It was like, probably started with Led Zeppelin and went off in a new direction with it. But, you know, at least it's musically, it was so interesting, and this was nothing.
I would say Darius Rucker, you know, good for you. You know, go, you know, at least he's, you know, at least he writes songs and, you know, I guess he enjoys it. And
good for you. You suck, but good for you. Good for you.
I mean,
for
he made poor choices with his vocal style. But yeah, I mean, but he sold 16 records. Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, he's laughing. He's set for life, that dude. So
yeah, I wish I could have one fucking Hold My Hand publishing check.
Right? Yeah, right. So Hootie knows more than we do.
And then they had to give all the Only Want to Be With You money to Bob Dylan.
Exactly. They're actually all broke.
You want to sing that song we heard in the radio today? Oh, you mean I Only Want to Be With You by Hootie and His Blowfish? Yes. I love that song. But hey, It's after lights out.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls. Sometimes you're crazy, and I wonder why. Now I'm such a baby, cause the dolphins make me cry. There's nothing I can do. All I wanna be with you.
Be back.